Brothers and sisters, pray with me, please. Holy Spirit of God, take our minds and think through them. Take these words and speak through them. And set our hearts on fire for love of thee. Amen. Please be seated. About a year ago, on a beautiful, crisp fall Saturday morning, I found myself at the cell phone store setting up a new contract with a free new phone as a bonus. Always the early bird, there were only a few others ahead of me in line, and I got the last available sales associate without a wait and began to make my purchase. I hadn't realized it, but this was the first weekend after the release of a new iPhone. So the store soon became very crowded with fully masked customers intent on having the latest and greatest device in their very own hands. As I waited for my data to download from my old phone to my fancy new model, I became more aware of one voice over the din of the crowd, a maskless voice that was moving around the store and becoming louder by the minute. I looked up from my two devices to see a young man, well-kept and neatly dressed, wandering around the store, shouting at the top of his lungs, one minute letting us know his choice in the upcoming presidential election, the next giving praise to God, and then on to shouting out expletives. Since none of us ever knew his name, I will just call him Ricky. Most of my fellow shoppers kept their heads down and avoided engaging with Ricky. The well-trained store's employees were deploying all the correct words and behaviors to de-escalate the moment. One was speaking kindly and softly to him, attempting to escort the young man out, and I could see out of the corner of my eye, someone was behind the counter calling the police. Everything was being done to appropriately manage the situation. That is, until one customer took it upon himself to manage it the way he saw fit. Our would-be hero tackled Ricky and wrestled him to the floor and dragged him and tried to throw him out the door, not realizing the young man was pretty strong himself and fought him every step of the way. The front door was soon broken and barricaded by Ricky as he called for the police to be informed about this assault. And I must say, I couldn't blame him. Sometime during that standoff, the man who would be hero slipped cowardly away and quietly got into his car and left, leaving behind, when his absence was discovered, a distraught Ricky, still seeking justice and sprawled across the doorway, clutching his backpack. Everyone else seemed to fade into the walls, not wanting to disturb the young man any further and await the arrival of authorities while attempting to finish their own transactions. One or two of us began to carefully and kindly engage with Ricky, eventually encouraging him that it was time to go home, for it was clear he had a home, being too well-dressed and too well-kept to be living on the streets. He began to weep and mirror back the words he heard of the need to go home while he gathered his meager belongings and finally went on his way. That morning has stuck with me for a long time. This young man was not just another crazy homeless person who we see too often on the streets of Houston. He was not deranged, threatening people with violence. This was obviously someone's son, someone who had gone off his meds and needed to go home. Go home and accept his family's love and care once again. Oh, I have prayed for Ricky and for the eyes to see that same humanity in all who stand at the street corners and intersections of our fair city. He was just the old blind beggar. I'm sure many in the crowd on the road leaving Jericho, headed to Jerusalem, had seen him there before. He was a regular sight. It was likely his regular place there on the outskirts of Jericho, trying to catch those engaged in the flow of commerce or travel as they come and go. He was an outcast, unable to hold a proper job and support himself or a family, living on the margins of society, both literally and figuratively. He had one belonging, his cloak, in which he lay in front of him to accept alms and in which he wrapped himself during the cold nights. Just the old blind beggar. Somehow Jesus hears the voice of the beggar over the din of the crowd. Despite the crowd's efforts to shush him, the beggar shouts louder and louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Perhaps he had heard of Jesus' exploits in the region before that day. Maybe the crowd, as it passed him by, were speaking of the works Jesus had done. Or maybe he had received divine knowledge of Jesus' kinship to David and, like all those of his time and culture, had hung his hopes on the restoration of the Davidic kingdom when God would empower a new king from David's line to reunite scattered Israel, subdue the Gentile nations, and rule in God's kingdom here on earth. And maybe, well, just maybe, the beggar hopes for alms from Jesus, King David's son. But just like the story we read of the hemorrhaging woman in Mark 5, Jesus stops amid all the crowd and its noise and becomes aware of one particular person. The crowd, who has been keeping the man away from Jesus, suddenly gets tasked to call him to Jesus. Jesus asked the beggar the same very question he asked Zebedee's two boys, James and John, in our gospel reading from last week. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Setting aside any hope for monetary gain, and unlike the response to this question from James and John asking for glory and prominence, the blind beggar merely says, "I just want my sight back. I just want my sight back." Jesus doesn't have to touch the man's eyes or apply his spit as he did when he healed the blind man in Bethsaida, two chapters earlier in Mark. All it took was this man's faith, just as it did when Jesus healed the woman with a hemorrhage. It is the blind man's faith that restores his sight. And he, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, doesn't just happily gather his cloak and leave and go live a quiet and productive life in Jericho. No, he shows the true mark of a disciple. For unlike the rich young man earlier in this chapter of Mark, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, throws aside his cloak and leaves all his worldly belongings behind to follow Jesus. He was just the old blind beggar to many of them, but not to Jesus. Jesus was able to look beyond the sightless man employed in a despicable vocation because of no other options and see so much more than the others saw. And unlike the others he had healed, Jesus doesn't send Bartimaeus back home to Jericho. For Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, had the heart of a disciple, the faith to move mountains. And Jesus needs that kind of disciple as he begins to make his way to Jerusalem and face conflict with the authorities, suffer, and die. It is his other disciples who remain blind to the reality Jesus faces as he turns towards Jerusalem and the cross. Three times Jesus has told the 12 that he is to go to Jerusalem and will suffer at the hands of authorities and die before rising again, and they just don't get it. He was just the old blind beggar. Just the old blind beggar. We seem to use that word just a lot, don't we? For instance, we are told that it takes just a few steps to assemble that piece of furniture from IKEA. Meaning it's supposed to be simple, easy to do. But I don't know about you, if I had known it would take me just 6 hours or more, I probably wouldn't have bought that furniture. Using just as a label can limit expectations or even reality, as in the case of that furniture assembly. While that may be fine when applied to things or objects like furniture, when just is applied to people, it doesn't merely limit expectations of them. It can diminish them. Too often we place limits on others, like labeling them as just a blind beggar, or just a crazy street person, or just a senior citizen, or just a kid. What we are really saying is that he is only a blind beggar. Instead of she is just a crazy street person, we are really saying she's nothing but a crazy street person. When we say he is just a senior citizen, we mean he's out of touch, or worse, he's losing it. Or she's just a kid really means she hasn't earned her way in. She doesn't know anything. This just business causes us to turn a blind eye to that person's personhood as we put people in a box and fail to recognize the value and dignity they hold as a child of God, made in the image and likeness of God, endowed with gifts given to them by God, and are of great worth merely because they are loved by God without having to do anything to earn it. That is the true mark of our worth, our value. We are loved by God. We are more than our justs. We are more than just a fill in the blank with this or fill in the blank with that. With all those blanks being filled with whatever others or even ourselves decide. We are so much more than that. Jesus asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" Perhaps it is we human who need our sight restored, especially when we look upon the different, the marginalized, the washed up. We need to be able to see the dignity and worth of all others. We need to be able to show respect by thought, word, and deed to others as children of God, beloved of God, just as we are ourselves. Throw off the cloak that may keep you from fully being a disciple of Jesus. Pray for the grace to see like Jesus and be able to see all of those old blind beggars in our lives and recognize them as Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, beloved child of God, just like us.